listening to the Chick Chat Podcast with hosts Danielle and Sarah. Woo! Let's get to it. Fuck yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Chick Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Murray. Across from me is the lovely Danielle Gogan. I feel like I've got that down and I say that every
Yes, broken record.
Well, we back.
We back.
And we here. And we ready we to here. Chat.
Yep.
Thanks for all the love last week, Chick Chatters. We got so many messages and so many DMs. It's great to see people interacting with us online. We want to do more of it. So send us your comments, send us them DMs, and we will respond. And eventually, we want to get this going as a segment on the pod. So send us all your questions.
You can even send us gifts because we love gifts.
We may be young, but we know we've been through some shit.
And gifts.
And
get
we can
it?
Give you some advice.
Holiday season's coming. Right around the corner.
Look at you.
I know. Love so you funny. All. Love all right. My fans.
Let's get into it.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
All right. So, if you had listened to our last episode, I had mentioned at the end of the episode that Kanye West was going wild on Twitter. So, what's going on, Sarah?
Oh, yes, that he was. So, Kanye and Drake are in a full-fledged war. Rap God war.
Yeah.
I'm so
send them purple emojis and shit.
Yeah, there's some gangster ass.
No, it sounds like immature men fighting
for sure. But they claim that they're all gangster and shit. I'm very versed in this realm, but this has been
the hip hop world.
Yes, the hip hop world. I'm more of a country girl, if you know what I mean.
True that.
Anyways, love for Drake, love for Kanye, of course. But yeah, there is some serious threats going on. When we were doing our podcast last week, we turned on Twitter and literally Kanye's Twitter looked like a slot machine going tling, 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 with all the likes and retweets. There's been quoted that he's posted over 100 rant tweets that one night, just basically about the feud with him and Drake. So I know that it got so bad that there apparently, allegedly, Drake threatened Kanye and his family. The next day, Kim got on there and said, "At Drake, don't threaten my husband or my family. He paved the way for you to even exist," along the line. So there's been some serious allegations going out there. But why did this all start, Danielle? Do you know the origin of this beef? Like, I don't even understand.
So basically it all started because Drake thought that Pusha T had leaked that he had a son on this podcast.
So, yeah, because Pusha T and Kanye were
working together.
Kanye was producing Pusha T's album or songs. Yeah. So
anyway, because of the fact that they were close, he assumed that Kanye was the reason that Pusha T knew
Pusha
that information.
Dissed Drake on this album that Kanye produced. So Okay.
So yeah, and then basically Kanye comes back and says like, "No, it wasn't me. Like I never did it." And then Pusha T reveals later on that it was this guy named 40 who actually revealed the information to some. Or it came from like some girl or something that he was sleeping with.
Yeah, so 40, this is just, I'm looking at this article right now. 40 was sleeping with some girl and he let slip and the girl kind of went public with it. But Drake and Pusha have had beef from before too. Like, I know that last month, Pusha T had a concert in Toronto and Drake fans went and caused a scene. Like, they're throwing beers at him and stuff. And Drake allegedly bought the first two rows of tickets to the concert so like no one could sit there, like petty shit. And like apparently someone went on stage and they got to rush Pusha and like that person's in critical condition.
Oh my
so
God.
That's kind of what Kanye was,
or like someone
alluding.
Stabbed or something.
Stabbing. Like that was what Kanye was alluding to in
why is he so mad about this. Like, did he really not want his poor son to be known?
I mean, well, there's like, I guess, like, who knows? I guess he didn't want to.
It's like
maybe it's
pride.
Part of his image is his whole image is how his dad left him, kind of thing. So maybe he didn't want to be the dad that left his son kind of thing too,
or maybe
and
he
got
wanted
mixed.
Be
yeah,
the
I
one
don't know
to come out with it or something.
He
like,
knows.
Didn't want it to come
maybe
out that way.
Wanted to keep it private, or maybe because Drake is into some gang shit.
Is he though?
Yeah, he is. There's some shit that goes on, so maybe he didn't want people to know about the son for safety reasons. Who really knows?
Yeah,
like who knows? But
well, anyway, there's been some tangerines.
Yeah,
happening.
Some friggin' tangerines. And even Miss Ariana Grande kind of chimed in,
so
and
we posted this on our Insta story.
Yeah, she's like, I know grown men are fighting on the internet, but me and Miley are releasing a song, so if you can just like let us have our moment, thanks. Mm-hmm. And then Kanye went back at her. And
even
of,
Pete, he chimed in too.
Oh yes. So yeah, this kind of it kind of spiraled. This tangerine went into a little bit of a spiralization. But
so basically, just to go back to the whole Kanye thing. So Kanye was like, you know, like I suffer from mental health, like you're sending me like purple emojis. So apparently Drake had sent Kanye like the purple
devil
emoji to express that he was mad about something. Well, not something, the baby being revealed in the diss track or whatever.
So angry.
Yeah. And then he like dissed 350s. Is that what it is? 350s? 380s?
What does that mean? 350s.
Oh, it's his shoes. Like Yeezys.
Oh, LOL.
But anyway, so he dissed 350s in the song with Travis Scott. And then they were like, we'd rather check marks versus stripes. So to say like, we'd rather Nike versus Adidas, because his Yeezys are obviously
Adidas.
Yeah. But then Kylie chimed in and was like, actually, Travis has a partnership with Nike. So everyone needs to relax.
Oh, my Lanta.
But anyway, so Pete chimed in and was just like, you know, like obviously like I'm going through mental health stuff. He said that he didn't want to be on this earth anymore and like was like relating to Kanye's mental health stuff. And then he was just like, he deleted his Instagram, and then that caused a pretty big uproar of like all the celebrities being like, Pete, like we're here for you, like people were checking in on him, like making sure that he was at his SNL set, I guess, Saturday night, because nobody knew where he was because he deleted his social media.
Yeah, he went dark for a bit, but he did show up to work that day. And
Ariana
allegedly
apologized too.
No, and Ariana showed up at the studio at 30 Rock to see him, and he didn't want to see her. He denied her. He's like, nope, I don't want to see you, blah blah blah. But so Pete has come forward. He has borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. So he has a mental illness that he speaks very openly about.
Yeah.
He's been to rehab before for anxiety, depression, and to deal with suicidal thoughts. So this is something that he's been battling his whole life. It's something that it's a part of him. He will continue to go through it. So just hoping that he's in a good spot now. He's been his executive producer took him off the show that night. Like he showed up for work and they're like decided to not.
They were like, don't, you can't.
Yeah, they're like, they kind of canceled his skits, but he did make some appearances. So he introduced Miley's performance, and then he did some pre-taped sketches, but he didn't do the full show just because they didn't think he would be well. I believe that they're reaching out just to trying to get him more help, just kind of getting him to a back's place, and they're hoping to have him back in good health and going again for the new year. So Pete, hang in there. Hopefully you're doing well and everyone kind of gives him a break. But this also, it can be easy to deal with because Ari's been in the headlines like all the time, especially with our big release of Thank You Next, when she's like, thank you next, and like people are probably like, yeah, bye Pete, like they're probably kind of turning on him. And it's even been quoted that he's been getting like an outpour of like negative and like bullying messages, not only from Ari and his friends, but like all that stuff. So that's definitely contributing to.
I think
easy.
That's a huge portion of it. I think a lot of her fans are like attacking him.
Yeah. And she's kind of come out herself and being like, I don't encourage this. I don't have nothing but love for him. Even Scooter Braun spoken out about it, being like, Pete's an amazing dude, like don't come at him with all this negativity. And that is
Machine Gun Kelly was like, I'm on a plane on the way to see Pete.
Yeah, it's his buddies. So people are like they're rallying around him, which mm-hmm. is really great. Obviously, he's going through a dark time.
But it's interesting, too, that that he had come to Kanye's defense after she had bashed him. I feel like that was almost like a bash towards her, too.
Like, yeah, kind
of
like a little.
Well, of course, he's just like, shut up, like basically calling her ignorant for what she said. And then obviously, I think it was a sensitive subject for him. So it makes sense. But
for sure,
I think he was calling her out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, there's been lots going on this week
well,
in
a
the
lot
Twitter
of it
world.
Stems from, well, I do think that a lot of it does stem from mental illness. Like Kanye, he's known for going off on his tangents because he does have mental illness. And I think that if he was in a more like level-headed space, I don't think he would have acted out the way he did. I don't know, though. Like, maybe that's just, like, his freedom of speech and, like, his way of, like...
Yeah, that's just Kanye. Like, this is what we know him as. This is, like, how he deals with things.
Yeah.
Like, he is... He's, like, he was a reactor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he likes to go off on tangents, but...
Also, Cardi B spoke about it, too.
Yeah.
So, basically, Cardi B and Offset, that whole drama. So, he shows up at her performance for Rolling Lane. Is that what it was?
Yeah, so Cardi B was headlining a music festival called Rolling Lane.
She was the
record
first
breaking. Yeah, she was the first female to headline that mm-hmm. festival since its inception. So that was already a huge
deal
accomplishment. But Offset showed up in the middle of her set, wheels out a huge display of roses that spell out "Take Me Back, Cardi."
Yeah,
and kind of crashes her show. So.
Everyone's basically like
Cardi was
calling
like
him a stalker.
Noticeably upset, like she was kind of shocked and she was like, what the hell, and definitely kind of like, she didn't look embarrassed, but she looked like upset, being like, what the fuck, like get off here, like this is not the time or place to do this, blah blah blah. And she kind of like told him to get out of Dodge. And
people are calling him a stalker. Imagine if a woman would have done that. Imagine if Cardi did that to Offset.
Well, so there's a lot of allegations and like a lot of judgments being made about this.
Yeah.
But so people are calling him a stalker. I read a report that the festival that Cardi had in her contract, that she was having a surprise guest during her set, that it was Migos, that her management knew about this, that the festival knew about this, and that everyone knew this was going to happen, but this performance was supposed to be just by Migos. But then it turns out only Offset shows up to do this like great grand gesture to declare her love to her,
mm-hmm.
like being like, because he's been on social media all week being like, take me back, Cardi,
he's like,
blah blah blah,
I miss Cardi,
I didn't sleep with that girl, blah blah blah, like just been all whiny baby, mm-hmm. being like, I miss you, blah mm-hmm. blah blah. Well, duh,
yeah, of course,
Cardi, you idiot. But so there's kind of reports going around that, and then I've also read another report that the festival is denying it, being like, we had no idea. The artist is completely in charge of their set. Like, this is their doing. Like, this has nothing to do with us. But then someone caught a tweet that they posted saying, make sure you catch Cardi's set. Like, you're not going to want to miss this one. Special performances. Like, they teased it in the tweet and then deleted it. So people are like, y'all are for shit. Like, you guys plan this. So.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, it's not that easy to, like, do these surprise performances. Like, people know. Like, this is an organized performance. Like, this is a production. Like, there's a lot of things that need to happen for, like, you can't just, Offset couldn't have just walked in there and, like,
so you
where did you get those
knew?
Flowers made? I don't think she knew, but I think that
other
her management
did.
Would have had to approve it. And the festival, the production would have had to know.
Yeah.
Like, how would they know to, like, being a production manager, I've been a production manager, I run shows, you would need to know to have those flowers, A, there on time, A, set up and wheeled out. You need to have stage hands to roll them out at the said queue. Like, you can't just pull that out of your hat.
Yeah,
like,
you
can't just, Offset can't just fucking roll up in his chair. Roll up in his car with a bunch of roses and be like, hey, I'm going to go on stage. Is that cool? Like,
and I think a lot of people would have stopped him in his tracks if he wouldn't have, like, communicated
exactly.
any
like,
of that
this
stuff.
Was obviously, like, people knew. Like,
yeah.
Her management would have had to know. And maybe they're like, okay, yeah, this is cute. But, like, obviously everyone knew this was going on. But Cardi didn't. You can literally tell on her face that she's like, what the fuck?
Shocked.
Like, she's literally shocked. And she's pretty livid.
Yeah.
But then another people are turning it around and being like, how dare you fucking steal her spotlight?
Yeah.
And like, this was her show and you're going to take it with, you're going to come on stage, take it over with your bullshit and be like, I want you back. And she's like, no, like this
well,
is
he
not
made it about himself
exactly.
and her.
He completely turned around. So a lot of people are attacking yeah. him. Being like, you're such an asshole, like blah blah mm-hmm. blah. And like Cardi's friends are kind of going after Offset. So she takes to Instagram after being like, don't do that. Like,
yeah, she's
don't.
Done about
she's
the
like,
negativity.
That doesn't make me feel any better. Like, that doesn't make anything better. I'm not saying we're getting back together, but you bashing my baby father makes me doesn't help anything. And like, she's like, I don't want any of this bullying to come down on him. She goes, I know how bad it feels to have thousands of people like coming down on you. She's like, I don't want that for him. Like, look at all the negativity going mm-hmm. on the internet right now. Like, I don't want to be a part of it. So yeah. she's like, please. Yeah. respect us.
And she like, even speaks to Pete and is like, you yeah. know, like Pete even said that he doesn't want to be on this earth anymore, and she doesn't want anyone to have to feel like that based off yeah. of like her fans or her people coming for him.
I think people just don't understand how like impactful their words are, and especially yeah. like this is like it's bullying and
oh,
like
for
they
sure.
don't understand. So like people just kind of,
and it just goes back to what I said a couple episodes yeah. back about how Twitter is literally the deep dark social media cave where yeah. people just rip you apart. And
exactly.
I think it was
Lily Reinhardt. Yeah. She's like, I'm giving up Twitter.
Yeah.
It's a cesspool for yeah. evil 15-year-olds. That's
yeah.
what she called
yeah.
it.
And she said that people are so ruthless and mean on Twitter.
Yeah. Like people just, I feel like,
it's so easy
like
to hide behind
just,
a screen.
Yeah, they just don't feel as accountable for their words or actions yeah. when it's online. And
or they maybe they're just trying
egg.
To be go like go viral, or maybe they're trying to become like the next meme, or like
yeah,
that's like it. Just who knows?
Outrage. Yeah, yeah, they're trying to get because it's too. They're trying to get a rise out of people, and yeah. like if a celebrity retweets you, like
yeah.
how crazy your feed would go.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
That's why it's kind of like a dangerous line. Like, it's so great that people can like interact with people and their celebrities
yeah.
can be so close with their fans. Like
yeah.
Paris Hilton in American Meme, she's like so close with their fans. She's like, they sleep over at my house.
Which is crazy.
I have meetups with them. I'm like, that is wild.
Yeah.
But so obviously it's good for that portion of it. But like mm-hmm. the other side of it is like these people can turn on you so fast and literally bring you to a point where you are literally being cyberbullied and you don't want to be on this earth anymore, as
yeah.
Pete Davidson is experiencing.
Yeah.
But so,
well, and even Kanye too,
yeah.
like he's taken breaks from social media. Multiple celebrities have taken breaks from social media. And I feel like I 100% would probably do the same if I was in their shoes. I wouldn't
oh,
even,
absolutely.
I don't
like,
even know if I'd come
to
back
be way too much. Honestly, like they must have such bad anxiety.
Oh, 100%.
Like, 100%. Just, you're under a microscope. Like I feel for them, obviously. Like,
well, think of Kim.
They do this for a reason, and like us, we're even commenting mm-hmm. on it right now. Like, that's why they do things to get outrage from us, and like
yeah.
that is celebrity culture. Like, we're talking about it right now. Like, that's kind of the price of it to being a celebrity. So like that, they know that too. It's not like they don't know it, but just being like objective, like just being like, yeah, they must be really anxious people.
Well, for sure. And I think it goes deep into the whole like body shaming. Like everything, they
yeah.
will rip every single part of you.
Yeah, it's pretty. I guess that's the price you pay.
For
but yeah,
famous.
They have to have pretty tough skin.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye. So everyone, just be fucking nice.
Seriously, it's the holidays, you fucking Grinches.
Yeah, just don't be bullies and just fucking simmer down.
Yeah, and don't add us, okay? Well, you can add us, but only positive things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Ay, caramba. Peace and love. Mm-hmm. What did Kanye say? All love.
Yeah, and then he ran away.
And then he sprinted into this car on TMZ.
Yeah.
That was a funny clip.
We'll put on our Insta stories.
Aye, aye, aye. But be nice to people.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
All right, enough of the tangents. It's time to talk about something a little more serious and a little more real.
Real talk, real talk.
I'm Danielle Gauguin, here with your weekly news clues, where we talk news, fake news, debauchery, social media, and what's hot off the press.
So first up, we have an article by the Harvard Business Review that speaks to protecting your company culture by having rules for emails. So dealing with after hours emails and how it produces anxiety that's not only damaging to the worker, but also to the family. So what do you think?
I think this is really interesting study, and I think it's definitely true. Basically, it's also quoting me, like, one particular striking find in the study is that the amount of time taken up by reading and answering emails after work that's stressing out employees and their partners. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what's creating more anxiety, and it's just the expectation that an employee will be available outside of work hours. So, I mean, definitely in my own personal work history, this is something that's definitely affected me, especially being in roles where I had to be on, like, in community management roles or, like, social roles or even roles where I was working evenings. Always being on, definitely, it caught up to me and it took a toll on me. Just being, like, because we live in that instantaneous culture. I had to respond to the social media posts right away, or my manager was always online or, like, messaging me at 10 o'clock p.m. Like, I always had to be on. So, and it's definitely, like, I would wake up right in the morning, the first thing I would do is read my emails. Last thing I do at night was read my emails. Like, definitely being on like that did definitely take a toll. In recent years, I've definitely, my anxiety levels have definitely risen, to something I'm definitely treating now, but I definitely noticed that rising in particular to work and not only the hours I was working and just kind of the environment I was in. So those kind of roles definitely do took a toll on me. I'm not saying it does for everyone, but that's something I've definitely noticed for sure. So I can definitely speak to this being true for sure in my personal encounter. What about you, Dee?
Yeah, I mean, for me especially, I think also the fact that we do live in a bigger city, and Toronto's really known for being a city that people just come here and they hustle and they work hard, in comparison to, like, smaller towns where the expectations are literally you work 9 to 5 and then leave and then you're done. Like, you don't really touch your phone or whatever. Like, you don't touch your email. You go home and you decompress and then you start again the next day. But, like, Toronto, LA, New York, that's not the expectation. And if I think a lot of employers think that if you're not willing to get on board to be online and be, you know, accessible whenever they want you to be, then, you know, get out. Like, there's the door. Sure. Because I think there's tons of other people who are willing to take on that lifestyle. And I think even for me, and I can say this because the article does speak to the fact that it doesn't even just burden the person, it burdens the families. And, like, I've definitely been in situations where I've been working for specific people and I've gone home for the holidays or whatever it is, and I've had CEOs or, like, upper management people messaging me off the hook, and my family's like, it's Christmas, like, you need to stop. And I'm like, I can't. Like, you literally can't say no to these people, because if you do, you're gone.
And I find mostly the digital roles when it is, it's a 7 day a week job.
Even social media weekend, never sleeps.
I feel like that's definitely really common in those kind of things, because the highest internet usage peak times is evenings,
holidays,
and weekends. So that's kind of when you need to be online engaging, and
totally
that's when your content needs to be going out. But yeah, so the past, like, 4 years, I can honestly say I've been working 7 days a week.
Same.
And always. So same. That's just something that is kind of ingrained in our culture. And then it even touches on that article we talked about last week about millennials being thinking going out sucks. Well, that's because we're all overworked and we're really tired. So we're kind of multitasking. We're at home working and sitting on our couches. So I definitely think that this is an interesting article, and I like how people are starting to speak to it. But the article talks about how this is definitely a known thing, but how people, and if companies are like, oh, this is an issue, like, it's up to the managers themselves to set the precedent and be like, okay, like, I don't expect you to call me back right away. Or if they mentioned a case study where an employee was on vacation and they just, like, happened to pop on and check their emails, and they responded to something, and then their manager kept responding, so they felt obligated to keep responding. So basically they rendered their vacation, like, insufficient. Like, they were online the whole time. And
When I was away this year, I did peek at my emails, and I tried really hard not to get involved. But it's like, it's hard, because when you see things that are, like, triggering for you when you check your emails, and then you, it kind of, like, can dampen the mood of the trip.
Yeah, and then you're just like thinking about it work, the whole time.
And then what you have to go back to or whatever.
Yeah, I've really tried to kind of set
boundaries.
A boundary. And I'm like, once I leave, I'm off. And if anything is urgent, they'll text me Slack me kind of thing. Totally. I just kind of, I don't check. I've been finding it like I have so many different email accounts. Like this one role I had four different email accounts. I honestly find it very hard to balance all of them. So
of course, to get even all of those notifications, something's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it's definitely very tricky. So I just kind of like, oh, gotta shut it off. And then that's what I do in the morning to kind of get myself organized. That's when I go through it. But you have to set boundaries for yourself. And I think it's important because I don't think anyone can operate on high octane.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Like, it's not possible. So I think managers need to realize that too. I know I've been in different industries where you need to be on all the time and things happen in a drop of a hat and you need to, like, doesn't matter where you are, what time it is, like, you need to be online and things need to get done. So obviously, like, people who are in those industries, they know that going in. So I guess they can't really complain about it. But I like how we're drawing attention to mental health and like how it is dangerous. So I hope people start to know the prominence of this and take it into consideration and maybe just kind of give people a bit more slack. And
so what do you think this means for people who do work in the digital space and social media world and like balancing that anxiety and those stress levels? Like, how do you think that people are going to navigate, you know, these expectations that people have? Like, when you think of, you know, news outlets,
I think that they're not going to think of it's an it. They're not going to deal with it until it's an issue and everyone starts crashing. And, but like, burnout. I don't know about you, but I think that mental health awareness and mental health, notoriety about this issue has been at an all time high. I think that a lot of people are getting more accustomed to this and speaking out about it and noticing that, this is actually an issue and this is something we need to talk about. I think it's either going to end very, very badly where it's going to be like we're at a crisis for people not being.
And I think that's what people really, they forget when you're on your favorite meme account or you're on your favorite news outlet account or whatever you're looking at. Like, you need to remember that there's people behind that. There's people who are posting those things, scheduling all of those, that content to go out. And if it wasn't for those people, there wouldn't be any of this content. So it's like, kudos to those people, but also like, what are you gonna do? Like, and it even stems back to like, what do you do if you want to take a break, go on a vacation? Like, who's gonna do your job? Like, you need to learn to like balance, you know, the workload and then your personal time.
That's why like platforms like those scheduling platforms are definitely a heaven sent, and definitely to pre-schedule your content is definitely,
I know, but then
helpful,
that like comes into the issue of like, you know, what happens if something crazy like you know, like a Kanye tweet rant, like you can't, like that's not relevant news exactly, you know what I mean? Like, you always have to kind of like be on the pulse, you know what I mean? Like, you can schedule content, but then like if something crazy pops up, like what are you gonna do then? Like, that you're like out of the,
you need to jump in. But yeah, both you gotta have a contingency plan.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just think that this is definitely, we're in a grind kind of culture, and it's gonna either blow up in flames or we gotta kind of be proactive and like look ahead and be like, wait, this isn't working. Let's maybe take some steps back. But unfortunately, I think that it's gonna get a lot worse before it gets better.
I agree. I definitely don't see the culture or the expectations changing anytime soon.
Yeah, well,
definitely not as it emerges more.
Interesting points coming up. We'll be talking about this in a later article. But yeah. What they say is that they say that our models and like work models and like kind of economic models are kind of modeled after Japan. So Japan is basically essentially 10 years ahead of North American in their models and just kind of systems and like the way their environment and economy is going. So Japan is currently going through an economic crisis and a workforce crisis where millennials or people in the workforce are having a hard time getting jobs. They're having a hard time dating. Like, we're going to touch in this later in another article, but this definitely kind of their workforce and their market kind of crash. And basically the way we're going right now is we're on track to kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
People are going to be burning out. Jobs are not going to be easy to get because companies are closing. Like, That's why work-life balance, it's deemed to be unattainable, but it's very important for longevity. And that's the way to kind of fuel your motors is you need to be efficient and you need to be running on.
It's so interesting, too, when I see this a lot, and I have actually worked for two different companies who kind of strive on being like, oh, work-life balance, but then their expectations aren't that at all. Like, they say that is like their company motto, but it's like, yet you're like a workhorse.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Anyway, what do you guys think? We don't know. Let us know.
Okay, moving right along and much into the wheelhouse as we've been talking about the Chronicles of the Millennial Life. An article came up in The Atlantic. It was talked about on another podcast. That's what it brought to me, to my attention. But I thought it was very interesting and very on the same wavelength as what we've been talking about, especially last week. So this article is in The Atlantic. It's called Why Are Young People Having So Little Sex? It's by Kate Julian. And it's very funny. The bio is, despite the easing of taboos and the rise of hookup apps, Americans are in the midst of a sex recession. Mm-hmm. So this article is stating that we are in a sex recession, and it's a very lengthy article, but definitely very interesting. Danielle, did you read it?
I did read it, and it's funny because this ties in with last week's episode about how it says that millennials are lazy, we don't want to go out.
Yeah.
Now apparently we don't even want to have sex.
We don't even want to have sex, which is so funny. And the author definitely
can't relate.
Notes, LOL. Well, the author definitely notes about how, especially in our culture, sex is so prevalent and is talked about, like the sex in like advertisements. And there's all porn is at consumption's at an all time high.
Yeah,
and definitely with the Me Too movement, like sex is such a huge part of the talk in our society.
It's super normalized.
It's not happening, and it's so funny because a lot of people are thinking that everyone else is just having this amazing sex life and so much is going on, but actually, people are not doing it as much, and it's kind of being a normalized thing. And the author is kind of she's debunked it, but she's also like explained her research, and she's kind of brought it down to a couple of reasons. But it's definitely very, very,
I love
very
the title of this, the sex recession. I always say it's a recession. That's like so my funny favorite thing. I'll it's be like, it's a recession.
It's a sex recession. I mean, it's definitely a sex recession, which is funny. But anyway, so one of the points she makes for us pertaining to why this is a recession is sex, for one, meaning that like masturbation and porn and all that is at an all-time high. So people are just doing the job themselves, and they're not looking for other people to do.
But like that just contributes to like the whole like antisocial. Like
that's exactly what we were talking about last week. We're antisocial. We stay in and we're on our phones and we're tired. We talked about being overworked. We're tired and we just want to figure it out ourselves and not talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, the social prescriptions.
That's so sad.
It is sad. And that's why it's like, people, we need to kind of be more conscious as to how our society's shifting. And
no wonder everyone's so fucking depressed. Yeah. They're not going out. They're not socializing. Exactly. They're not hooking up.
Everyone's anxious.
I think everyone needs to get back out there.
You lose your libido and stuff too. So everyone's just tired and sad.
That's like, okay, we need to do something.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Should we have like a
party?
Yeah, we should have a mixer.
Yeah.
Okay, another reason is hookup culture and helicopter parents. So she states that the casualness of the hookup culture has made people kind of stay away from it. I guess people have gone to encounters and it's gone bad for them, so they're like, never again. Mm-hmm. I'm boycotting this. And then she also mentioned something about helicopter parents. In a really interesting fact, she said that the teen pregnancy rate has been going down and down and down, especially in high schools. And
well, there goes MTV's show.
Exactly. Well, that's why those girls are still on it.
Oh my God.
The OGs are still on Teen Mom. They're like 35 years now. They're not teens anymore.
You're not even a teen.
Yeah, your kid's in university. I think it's time for a...
You're just a sad single mom.
I think it's time for a hiatus. Like, relax.
Not hating on any single moms out there. Just saying.
No. Well, it's so funny. So yeah, there's a wave of teenagers having sex later and later, and people are saying that their parents, like helicopter parents, like they're kind of intimidated of their wrath, so that's why they're not doing, that's why they're abstaining, and then even going into college and university.
But don't you think that that whole like strict parents thing just creates more like deviance? Because wasn't, I feel like there's something to say about like not closeted, but just like very sheltered children, and then they get to university and then they go rebel. Completely wild.
Yeah, well, maybe that's not happening anymore. Like, I know that used to be the case, or like the assumption from there. Like, if you like definitely like keep a tight leash on your kids,
because I remember
rebel,
even
but
being
maybe
in high
just
school.
Like, nah.
Yeah, like when I was in high school, I remember seeing like all the kids who were like super prep and just like never went to any of the parties in high school, but then they got to university, and then you just like hear these stories of them going completely wild and not being able to handle themselves. And it's crazy because it's like, okay, maybe people should be going out in high school and like getting a little bit of experience so that when they do get to university, and like, or even if they don't go to university or and they just like go on to adulthood, like, you need to be able to like fend for yourself and not get like freaking alcohol poisoning the first time you go out.
Oh yeah. That's like definitely a thing. I mean, I'm so thankful that I was kind of, I was normalized and socialized. So, like, I knew what I was walking into, but like there was people just, thirstier was just a sea of vomit.
Yeah.
Just vomit everywhere. People vomiting everywhere. Ooh. And I'm just like, thank God I dodge that, because I did get exposed to social parties and stuff in high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I that's definitely a thing. It's a kind of a rude awakening when you come to university and then,
oh my god, yeah,
you go into it. Yeah, I don't miss those days and that smell of my dorm room. Anyway, so
there's a quote here. It's like, we hook up because we have no social skills. We have no social skills because we hook up.
Fact.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, it's funny because, well, they're hooking up because they just dive right into it. So that means that they're kind of the traditional courting and dating is like not like a hookup culture. You're just hooking up. So there's nothing romantic about it. It's like, yo, want to come over?
Yeah.
You come over, you hook up, and you never speak again.
Yeah.
And then people are trying, they're seeking intimacy. So they do it over again. And that's kind of, they don't have any social skills because you're not talking after, you're not getting to know anyone. You're Netflix and chilling and leaving.
Yeah, that's true.
Ay, ay, ay.
What was the other point you were going to say?
All right. So the next one is the Tinder mirage. So people are perceiving Tinder as like this place where you go out, you hook up, and you're like guaranteed to find someone to hook up with and get laid. And that's like, it's like a sex app. Mm-hmm. But the mirage is, and most of these dating apps is, it's not really true. Like, people treat them more as a game. It's a kind of a quick drip of dopamine. It's just like posting an Instagram photo. The like is a quick drip of dopamine. It makes you feel good. So,
well, and it's like that whole like setting up your profile, choosing the pictures, like writing your bio.
Oh,
like,
that's one of the reasons I don't go on them. I'm like, oh, I don't have any good photos. I don't know where I want my bio to be. I'm like, I'm not signing up for it. That's literally a reason I don't go on them, because I'm like, it's too much work.
Before?
But yeah, people are just kind of like, being like, they think that it's a hookup app, but it's a mirage. That's what like people in marriages are like, oh, if I was your age and I had Tinder, I would be killing it out there. But you're like, no, like that doesn't work. Like, and there's a quote here that's like 95% of the people on these apps have no intention of actually meeting up with you. They just go on it to get a like and get a match, and then they don't even message you. Or
I've actually heard
it's
of
just an ego boost. That's what this is used for now.
I've heard of promoters going onto these apps and just looking for like promo girls.
Yeah,
like they literally are looking
to the club tonight.
Yeah,
promoters get paid by by person they bring in, so they get paid by head. So
yeah,
obviously, and like I've worked in this industry, as have you, for a long time. It's your warm market expires very fast. You have to bring new people out. That's how you do it. You go on these apps and you're like, hey, you're cute, me and my friend are coming out tonight,
like, meet us,
and you're like, okay, so fun. Literally, you know, he's getting paid for you to be there.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Well, yeah, and it's another quote in here that's highlighted is, as romance and its beginnings are segregated from routines of daily life, there's less and less space for elevator flirtation. And this is something that we've definitely talked on before. I said I'm guilty of it, too. Like, when I remember we talked about meeting someone on the subway, I'm like, mm-hmm. I never talk to people on the street in the subway. My headphones are always in. So
yeah.
People, especially as millennials, we're staying home. You're going to meet someone. You only can meet someone if you're talking to them on an app or social media. But, like... from doing that, there's no space in our social exchanges for any real life elevator romance because we're just, our heads are in our phones the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is definitely true. I know I'm getting a sore neck because my head's always down working at my phone.
Kyphosis.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that what your chiro said to you?
Well, no, Aaron says I have kyphosis. And then I went to my...
Aaron the chiro, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, to my chiropractor, I was like, do I have kyphosis? And he literally looked at me like I had two heads. He was like, everyone has a kyphosis. Like,
yes!
Either you have like a very curvature of the spine or you have like a straight, like super straight spine. We're getting off topic now. But
yeah, we are. Okay, back to it. Okay,
I don't have kyphosis.
Another reason, she said, was... bad sex or painful sex. So people have had traumatizing encounters. So they're like, oh, fuck, never doing that again. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely admirable. If I had a bad experience, I'd be like, okay, I'm over it, really never doing it, that again. But this one I thought was really funny, and it's the fifth and final one, was inhibition. And she quotes, millennials don't like to get naked. If you go to the gym now, everyone under 30 will be put their underwear on under their towel, which is a massive shift, cultural shift, which is funny. Like, we're more modest.
So true.
It's so true.
Legit.
Like in public spaces, I am wearing a full parka at all times.
Like, think of when you go to the public washroom at the gym and you see like an old lady.
Yeah.
Literally nude. Buck.
Yeah. Just like leg up on a
bench. I am like hell to the no.
Doing a yoga class in her.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have no shame and they're just like, it's so normalized. And all the youngins are like, like,
oh my god,
that's so funny. But yeah, I think that was so funny. But it's also crazy because I feel like on Instagram and with the whole sexting culture,
what does it mean though? Inhibition, like, what does that mean?
Inhibition, like, lose your inhibitions. I don't know, Google this quickly, but I'm gonna finish my point.
Yes,
is we are in a rise of like the sexting culture and like people are sending pictures of their vagina to people across the world, but they won't show them in a public restroom across, I mean, a public change room with only other females in the room. Like, we are so accustomed to like bearing it all on social media. Yeah. Like your inhibitions, like your self morals, like your, oh, like, I don't want to do that. Like your afterthought. Our thong bikinis are plastered all over our Instagram feeds, but like we won't wear, like, it's, but like in real life, like,
they're prudish in person. I went to Las Vegas and all the girls picked on me and they called me Prudence.
Why?
Because I guess I didn't want to be as wild as them. I don't know.
They Who were like, all it, the Prudence. Girls?
Well, like some girls from back home.
Okay.
But I was like, F you. I'm not a fucking Prudence.
What, were you wearing a friggin' scuba suit? Like,
no,
what do you mean?
I mean, I was like contributing to like the clothing, but I just guessed that they like were like, let's go be out all night and like get fucked up. And I was like, no, I want to go to sleep now. I'm tired.
What does that have to do with being naked?
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
Thanks, you know.
Well, they said they're prudish in person.
Well, we are. I'm not going to walk around naked in public. I'm not going to show... take pictures of my vagina either, but I am probably prudence. But yeah, I think that's definitely a huge thing. It's like we think online doesn't matter and we can just send it out there without any regard.
Old timers, guys that are 60 plus have no problem with a gang shower. Ew.
Yeah, well, they don't.
So disgusting. Even now, like, I think that I'm very much like that, like,
what, having gang showers?
No, like prudence. Like, Aaron's house is like all kind of mirrors, and then when I go to the bathroom, I want the blinds down. I don't want anyone to see inside.
Well, yeah, and then also interesting. Well, despite an unsurprising sexual assault was invoked by many of the women who said they opted out of sex, The other two factors that are no great shock either are the rates in anxiety and depression that have been rising among Americans for decades now, and some accounts have risen quite sharply of late among people in their teens and 20s. So anxiety suppresses desire for most people, and in a particular unfortunate catch, 22, both depression and antidepressants used to treat it can reduce desire. So basically, we've already reiterated that the work culture we're in right now is definitely increasing the anxiety rates, and obviously that can contribute to the sexual desire. So honestly, it's a pretty bleak landscape. If millennials we're too tired, we're staying in, we're not socializing, we're only on our phones, and now we're saying that dating apps take too much work and we're not even going to be on those. It's a pretty bleak landscape for our romantic futures.
Yeah, it says too, a large and growing body of research reports that for both men and women, social media use is correlated with body dissatisfaction.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think that's another thing too. People see all these things on social media and like models and beautiful people all the time, and then they feel like they're not good enough.
It eats away at their...
Yeah. I actually knew a guy who had mentioned to me that he felt like he had to delete social media because he kept seeing like all these jacked guys and like all this stuff. And he was like, I just felt like I was like comparing myself to them, and I was like making me not feel good about myself. It's actually a thing.
Yeah.
I definitely,
people every day, men, women, children now.
Yeah.
Everything. It's crazy. Like, it's literally a thing. It's horrible. But that's just kind of like the dark side of social media.
And then the fact too, like, with editing photos and celebrities and stuff, like when you think back to like the Calvin Klein photo shoots and like Justin Bieber and who was that other guy? Mark Wahlberg. He was like one of the first Calvin Klein models, and then they like obviously like enlarge their junk, so then that makes like guys feel like, oh shit, like I probably don't have it big enough. Like,
well, that's teen. Like just like the issues advertising has been projecting on bodies and society for years and years and years. Like,
yeah,
that's,
I know.
Nothing new.
I know, but it's contributing to this whole thing.
Well, yeah, one of many reasons. But I think it's actually pretty funny. It's not funny, it's actually pretty sad, but it's going, and then the birth rate has been going down drastically. They're saying 500,000 babies in North America, less babies were born in 2017 than previous year. So,
wow.
It's all friggin' connected, and it's so... We gotta start dating.
I know. And
we
stop caring
about elevators.
No, but like this is like a major issue. Like, okay, so it says here, according to research, So it says, according to research by Debbie Herbernick, how people feel about their genitals predict sexual functioning. And somewhere between 20% and 25% of people, perhaps influenced by porn or plastic surgery marketing, feel negatively. The business of labiaplasty has become so lucrative that you will actually see billboards in some cities advertising it. I know a girl who had a labiaplasty, and I know people who have actually like spoken to me about feeling like very insecure about.
I know, which is so sad because it's like that's not even something that's like on display.
And I feel like guys don't notice that
stuff. But yeah, people feel so insecure about that, and that's obviously affecting like their desire and like their vulnerability and like to want to do this, but and to have sex with people. So that's very sad. But honestly, if they feel better and that's what makes them feel better, that's great. But like, the issue at large is we're in a sex recession, and it's affecting the population, people. Toys R Us is around the globe are closing because babies are not being born.
Oh my God.
That was in this article as well, too. Like, Toys R Us has gone out of business because...
No, I heard a radio article that was like, hey, I'm so-and-so, the CEO of Toys R Us, and I'm here to tell you we're not bankrupt. I think that's a rumor.
Well, they're going down, like, well, they're closing left, right, and center. And it's in this article because people are not having babies anymore. So we gotta add some more romance back into the world.
I know,
I think.
But I feel like millennials don't want children as much as any of the other children.
Well, because we can't afford them and we're too
true
tired.
Fucking that.
Well, too anyways, tired. Chick Chatters, we're gonna post this on our Facebook. Have a listen. I mean, a look. have listened to us and then have a look at said article.
Yeah.
And let us know your thoughts. Spread the word. There was a recession, and I think we need to look at some ways to friggin' end it.
Spice up your life.
Spice up your life.
Get naughty, naughty, and start cyber sexting like Miley Cyrus.
Let's get Cupid out and get some sprinkle, some romance out there so we can save Toys R Us.
Yep.
Save the toys.
Yep. All right, guys, I know we went off on a couple tangerines there, but obviously I have to touch on the full moon that's happening on Saturday, December 22nd, but don't be afraid because it's in Cancer, which is a loving, maternal, coodly, snoogly, loving sign. So it brings about positive change and direction, happy surprises, and also some surprising times.
Exciting.
So it's advised to trust and follow your intuition and expect the unexpected, as there may be some new opportunities show up for you now, as well as happy benefits.
Oh my god, I'm getting a boyfriend.
Areas of your money, career, or romance.
God, I'm getting rich, a promotion, and a boyfriend.
I hope so.
Holy shit.
Okay, this is like major.
Yeah. I can't wait to get a promotion, a boyfriend, and rich.
Yeah, I want that for you too.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, and I want that for all of you chick chatters too.
Yes, good vibes for the full moon.
Yep, December 22nd, peeps. Let us know if anything good happens. Do you get a boyfriend?
Send us a message.
Do you get a new job? Promotion? Money? Well, I mean, maybe this means we're all going to get money for Christmas.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Can't go wrong
with
the money.
It's a fucking recession.
It is a recession. Well, thanks for listening, Chick Chatters, and we'll chat with you next week.
Goodbye.
Toodaloo.
Goodbye.